Second Peter chapter 2. We're going to read several verses here, and I'll give you a thought, and I'll let you go. I ain't going to preach long. Amen. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensampling of those that live after, that after should live ungodly. That ought to be an example to the Sodomites. They ought to read this. Amen? And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to deliver us out of temptation. But he also knows how to reserve judgment, reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. I want to preach on this tonight for a few minutes, the unsparing God. There are some things that God's just not going to spare, and there are some people God's not going to spare. I know that society looks at God in a different way than me and you look at him. A lot of people, the only thing they know about God is what they hear on the news and what preachers they see on television. And they think God is love, and God is love. But you know something, brother? The mercy of God's going to run out one of these days, and judgment's going to fall. Your day's coming, and mine is too, and we're going to face God. And God is going to give us just exactly what we got coming to us. I want to use these verses of Scripture and give you, I don't know, five or maybe six real quick illustrations of God's unwillingness to spare man. Amen. Listen, brother, you say, well, God would never do that. God would never hurt us. God loves us. That's the deception we read about in verses 1, 2, and 3, where he said evil men would come along seducing people. That's what's happening. That's why the people's got all the money, control the news media outlets, and all those rich people get the religious programming, and they're the ones that shooting out all over the world, spewing lies and telling things they ought not tell. You cannot turn on your television, with the rare exception of one or two, and I could name them, preachers that will actually get on the air and warn people and say, my God, people, you need to repent, you're going to die in your sin and go to hell. They won't say it, but they're wanting to say what the folks want them to hear. But we serve a God that's a God of love, and we serve a God that's a God of wrath and judgment. He's an unsparing God. I'll give you an example. You say, well, God's a God of love. He wouldn't judge people. He wouldn't send a man to hell. He wouldn't bring forth judgment or anything bad. What about your mama? Those of you raised like I was, your mama was a mama of love, wasn't she? What do you think she was giving you with that hickory wrapped around your legs? What do you think that was? I ain't gonna spare you, boy. You ain't getting away with it. Well, that's the way God is. He's a multifaceted God, and love is only one aspect of the God we serve. Look at verse 4, number 1. God did not spare the angels that sinned. He did not spare, the Bible said, for he spared not the angels that sinned. You know the story, you can go home and read it and study it. Did you know that at one time, Lucifer, the devil, he was called Lucifer. He was, at one time, he was one of the main angels in heaven and had power. Had authority. And I don't know how many angels this is, but I can imagine it's a whole bunch of them. But the Bible said that he tried to rise up. He raised up in pride and thought he could overthrow God. And the Bible said that a third part of the angels went with him. You imagine an angel in heaven in the presence of God where there's not even any sin, and you tell me people can live above sin down here, you're crazy as you look, brother. You cannot live above sin, but you can live in a state where it don't have dominion over you. Amen. He's not going to spare them angels. The Bible said it's cast down to hell, and they're down there in that compartment of the earth chained up. and they have been for thousands of years, and they're chained up down there right now in the heart of the earth, in the center of the earth. I believe that's where they're at. You say, preacher, you don't know that. Well, according to what I understand in the Bible, that's where they're at. And they're down there being chained up, and they're just waiting judgment day. Did you know when Jesus walked up and down the shores of Galilee and walked on this earth, when the demons met him and the ungodly evil spirits, you know what they said? First thing out of their mouth, they said, we know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. And they said, have mercy on us. Brother, don't you know them angels are down there reserved in darkness and chains, and they're wailing and crying, and they know their day's coming, brother. They know that God is not going to spare them from judgment.
Amen.
How do you think America's going to fare? You know, angels, at least we can get forgiveness through redemption, through the blood. But when an angel sins, they get cast out. They don't get forgiveness. Amen? The Bible said in verse 4, the angels that sinned, God didn't spare them. God didn't say, well, I created you to serve me and worship me, and everybody makes mistakes and everybody has their fault, so I'm going to give you another chance. God didn't. God cast Lucifer down to the earth and cast those angels down to be reserved in darkness until the day of judgment. Chained up. God didn't spare them. I'm going to move along quickly. Number 2, God didn't spare the old world. Look at verse 5, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person. It wasn't but 8 of them. You say, preacher, we don't have a real big crowd. Are you sure we're right? I know we're right. I know we are. It ain't got nothing to do with how many pews we got empty. That proves we are right. Amen? But the Bible said God didn't spare the old world. Listen, brother, the Bible said there up in Genesis chapter 6, if you'll read that, the Bible said the thoughts and imaginations of a man's mind was evil continually. It's like there was not a righteous, good, holy, pure thought on this planet, and God didn't even spare this entire world.
Amen.
You ever stop thinking about it? You think about the flood, kill all them people. That's a bunch of people, brother. We don't know how many millions of people is here. A couple of thousand years of population, God wiped them out. The Bible said it repented God that He had made man. Man had got so evil and so wicked and ungodly and so vile that God said, He said, I regret that I even made man. And brother, He told Noah, He said, you build an ark and you warn them. And the Bible said He preached and He built for 120 years. That's what we're doing. We're warning people. Somebody may be sitting here tonight. We don't know people's hearts. You may be sitting here and you're just going along for the ride and you ain't even saved. You better get saved.
Amen.
Young lady, young man, old lady, old man, you better get right and get ready because this thing's about to be over. And brother, Jesus Christ is about ready to come, and when He comes, it's all going to be over and you're not going to have a chance. God ain't going to spare you.
Amen.
He spared not the old world. You think about Noah preaching for 120 years and building that boat out there and people looking at him like he's crazy. You do realize it never had rain before, didn't you? I mean, brother, we think we got a drought. I mean, they had one. It never did rain. But the dew came up from the ground and watered the plants and the grass and the vegetation and all that. And here's a man, he's building this big boat out in the yard. And he said, y'all, if y'all don't repent, get right with God, it's going to rain. They said, what's that? He said, right, water's going to come down out of heaven, and the fountains of the deep's going to be broke up, and this whole thing's going to be flooded with water. And they said, oh, gosh, I cannot believe that preacher's so judgmental. That is so offensive and so rude and so intolerant. I imagine they're standing around like this, their hand on their hip, patting their foot, probably lighting the loafers, got sugar in the tank, you know how they are. Oh, I just think that's just terrible. That preacher thinks he's on the one's right, and he's out there, he's beating on that ark with a hammer during the day and preaching at night time, and they're over there singing and they're shouting and talking about Jesus and the blood and the cross, all that gets on my nerves. I'll be glad when they're gone. But they wasn't glad when they was gone. Somebody said that the other day about us. They said, well, don't worry about it. One of these days they'll be gone and we'll be free from all this hatred and intolerance. We do have hatred for sin. I never said we hated people, wanted anybody to go to hell. Matter of fact, I told one of them, I said, you don't know how much money we spend a year trying to get the gospel out to keep people from going to hell. We spend more than you do, I guarantee you that. I guarantee you we spend more money and effort and blood, sweat, and tears to try to help people than you do. Bless God, you're just out to help yourself, but we're trying to keep men and women and boys and girls from dying and done without God going to hell. God didn't spare them. God said, Noah, get in the ark. Now, I've always heard it preached this way, that God put them in and closed the door, but that ain't what it said. The Bible said, God said, come thou into the ark. It's time. The Lord's in there with them. said, no, you're going to be floating in here a long time. I'm going to ride with you. You're going to get bored. All these animals, your wife, your three sons and their daughters, praise God, and you're just going to be floating along for over a year on the water. It rained 40 days and 40 nights, but it's on that boat a year, closed up in there. All them animals, all that going on. All that. Honey, are you sure we're in God's will? Are you sure God told us to do that? I'm going to see Noah over somewhere down in the corner praying out right by the cow stall. And God said, Noah, you're doing the right thing. You did what I told you to do. But brother, here's the point I'm trying to make. When they went in there that day and closed the door, I guarantee you, brother, I guarantee you, the thought went through their mind, boy, I hope we're doing the right thing. I sure hope Daddy's right. I sure hope Daddy made the right move. Because brother, listen, all my friends, everybody I work with, all of our distant relatives, all kinds of people are outside this boat, and what if the rain don't come? How long are we going to stay out here before we get? We got a bunch of animals in here. And they're all making fun of them and laughing at them. Like I was preaching this morning, they'll laugh at you and make fun. Let them go ahead. But it wasn't funny when it got cloudy. Somebody said, I wonder what that is. What's that big old black thing in the sky? And the first time they ever heard thunder and saw lightning shoot down out of the sky, don't you know they started thinking twice? And I can visualize in my mind. You ever seen it rain so hard it just looked like, I mean, what they call a frog strangler? You can't see from here across the street. I mean, pouring out bucketfuls. Imagine it raining harder than that for 40 days and 40 nights with no let up in sight. Imagine that. Now here's these people, brother. I mean, brother, the creeks and the rivers start rising and the lakes start overflowing and the swamps coming up and it starts getting up to their knees and up to their waist and they start going to the high country and it keeps going up and they start getting up in the trees and there ain't nowhere to hide. And there's women with babies and men with one kid under each arm trying to run to the highest place. You say, preacher, I can't believe a God of love would do that. Yes, a God of love did that. Because he said he wouldn't. He gave them 120 years to repent. He'd give America plenty of time to repent. God never executes judgment without giving people a space to repent. And then when they don't repent, judgment falls and he don't have any problem letting it happen. The angels of sin, the old world, number 3, look at verse 6. Verse 6 said, and he spared not the cities of Sodom and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I know this is a touchy subject nowadays because people, it amazes me how brainwashed people are. I'm amazed at how brainwashed and hypnotized Christian people are. Or say they're Christians. I don't get it. I don't understand how a Christian person, here's what they accuse you of. They say, well, you just preach on one sin. I told one guy, I said, you don't know me. You don't know what I preach. They don't know what I preach. I preach on all of them. You just happen to get hit this week. Amen? Listen, brother, the Bible said that those sodomites, those homosexuals, listen, you say, oh, that's offensive. Listen, don't you think it's offensive to God for him to look down? God made a man and God gave him a woman, and then for man to turn from the use of a woman and go with another man, you think that don't make God want to throw up? Brother, that's exactly what the word abomination means. He said, if thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, for it is abomination. I don't care what your TV says or the news media. The news media has promoted this junk. Hollywood's promoted this bunch of bull. And Americans have sat and swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. You're looking at somebody ain't going to swallow it, brother. I ain't taking it, son. I ain't going to believe it. I don't care if I'm the last one holding out. If I'm the last one that goes down, my little bony finger will be sticking up saying, I'll stand with the Bible. Hey, man, let the world say what they will. I'm going to stand on the side of the Word of God. And God said it's filthy, it's vile, and it's wicked, and it's taking men to hell. Amen. Preacher, you'll offend somebody like that. Maybe they need to be offended. Amen. Amen, I'm right. You know I'm right. God just said amen. Did you hear that outside? Amen. That's the first time it's thundered in 6 months. Amen. 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 Praise God. God's a Baptist, ain't he? Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. God didn't spare that much. You think about God created a man and gave him a woman, and for a man to leave that, a woman is everything a man's not. You ever thought about it? Every part where a man's lacking, that's where a woman's strong. And whatever a woman's lacking, that's where a man's strong. I mean, a man and a woman just makes the perfect unit.
That's why the Bible calls them one flesh. A man and a man can't become one flesh. It can't be done. A woman and a woman can't be one flesh. It takes a man and a woman. I even had one of these idiots to tell me, whatever it was, whatever would say if it's a man or a woman, probably don't know. Said, well, you said homosexuals can't reproduce. They said, have you ever heard of in vitro? You know, where they implant an egg, I think is what it is. And I said, yeah, I've heard of it. You proved my point. It takes a male sperm and a female egg to reproduce. I don't care where you implant that egg or if you put it in the test tube, it's still a male and a female, brother, or sister, whatever you are. And brother, listen, I'm telling you, brother, our society's so brainwashed and the devil has sent them a strong delusion and they're believing it and they're living it. I want to tell you, brother, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of this wicked lifestyle. What one generation allows in moderation, the next generation will practice in excess. And that's what we've seen. When I was a kid growing up running around, brother, we was running around teenagers back in the 60s and 70s, driving in muscle cars and spinning tires. Brother, somebody called you a queer, you'd get in a fight, son, real quick.
Amen.
Amen. But now they call you one and they say, cool man, far out. We're living a different world, man. I mean, the devil has lost us in warp speed into a whole another realm of society. And brother, listen, I'm telling you, society, I was watching the news the other day and they showed that guy used to be on Clinton's, I forget his name, used to be on Clinton's cabinet, Stephanopoulos, I believe it was. He said, we have the most inspiring story coming up next. You don't want to miss it. I thought, praise God, if it's inspiring, I can afford to see some of that. I sat there drinking my coffee or a beer, I can't remember which it was. I was drinking a coffee. I don't drink beer. Anyway, I sat there and they came back from the commercial and had two sodomites. They had adopted 10 kids. And they said, sitting there, this is just so inspiring. How did you have, when me and Frank decided we wanted to have a family, and I said, I'm about to puke. I ain't kidding you, bro. Listen, a real man, that pukes you, bro. There's something about that ain't right. Listen, any man that looks at a sodomite and says, well, that's okay, that's their own preference, that's something wrong with him. Listen, I'm my own man, 100%. By the way, God didn't make them that way. God didn't make them that way. Listen, I've been horseback riding through the mountains with other men, and I've been on fishing trips, I've been on hunting trips, I've been coon hunting all night long with other guys. I sit on the riverbank all night trying to catch a fish, and I've never looked at another man's. I thought, you know what, George, you're starting to look pretty good. Never. I've been drunk. I've been so drunk in nightclubs before that the ugliest woman in there looked like Miss America. But I ain't never looked at another guy and said, not bad. Never. Never. Hey, they say, listen, they say, well, this is the argument. Listen, I'm going to preach on the sodomites a few minutes because I've caught hell from them lately. Amen. Listen, they say, well, we were born that way. I don't believe you're born that way. Isaiah 5:20 said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Brother, listen, if I thought for one minute that God made them that way, I'd quit preaching tonight. If I believed that, I'd quit preaching, throw my Bible in the trash. Any God that would pronounce judgment and send people to hell and then make them that way is a Hitler God. God didn't make them that way. It's a learned behavior. I've never seen a little boy 3 years old or 4 years old. You know, when boys, they don't like girls. You ever notice that? They don't like girls. And when they start getting about 10, 11, 12, just depending, nowadays they start liking them a little earlier. You remember that on Little Rascals when they had the He-Man Woman Haters Club and that pretty one walked by and Alfalfa said, whenever I quit hating girls, that's the first one I'm going to quit hating. She's a baby doll, son. You know what that proves? You never see a little boy that looks at another little boy and thinks, I wish I could take him to the dance. Not unless society or crazy people has programmed them that way. Listen to this. I saw the other day on the news the most bizarre, craziest thing I've ever seen. People are crazy. There's a man and woman had a child. And this baby's how old? Do you remember? A year old, 18 months. Nobody knows what sex it is. Nobody knows if it's a boy or a girl. They're keeping it hid. The woman said, I don't want my child to be judged on whether or not he's a boy or whether he's a girl or whether she's a girl or whether she's a boy. And I'm going to let them make that choice. And I'm not going to let them. I'm sitting there thinking, you're a fool, woman. Don't you know that sooner or later, if it's a little boy, it's going to start acting like a boy. And if it's a girl, it's going to start acting like a girl. And I mean, that's crazy, man, to even think that. You know what she's doing? They're messing that kid's mind up. And by the time that kid ever does learn anything, he ain't going to know if he's a boy or a girl. And he'll probably run off and be a queer. That's okay if that's what Joe or Joanne wants to be, that's fine. Paul or Pauline, Henry or Henrietta. Ain't that right? Craziest thing. I told Debbie, I said, come here, you got to watch this. These people are nuts. They're having kids and keeping their sex. Their grandma and grandpa don't know what to buy for Christmas. Don't know what it is. Don't know whether to buy him a gun or a baby doll. What do I eat? They don't call it nothing. They just call it Baby Jones or whatever. That kid's going to grow up messed up, brother. If he don't make it to prison time he's 18, it'll be a miracle. I was born this way. Here's another thing they say. You must accept it. No, I don't. I won't accept it. You say, preacher, you're the only one. So be it. I won't accept it. I'll never accept that lifestyle. You say, well, people can't help their sexual orientation. Yeah, they can. Hey, listen, I'm an alcoholic by trade. Amen. Ain't you? Brother, listen, I used to drink enough liquor to float a battleship and smoke enough pot to sink one. I know all the tricks. I know all that stuff. And brother, listen, if I wanted to and I let myself, I could still be one. Brother Sam was talking about it the other day. He said, I can't drink a beer a day or a glass of wine. If I drink a glass of wine right now, he said, how long would you be drunk, preacher? I said, about a year and a half probably. I know me. I can't do it. And brother, I'm trying to tell you, you can't accept that. If you accepted that, then you'd have to say, well, he can't help himself. He's alcoholic. They do that too, claim it's a sickness, they can't help it. He's got a sickness, he steals. What about if you go out and commit a crime and murder somebody and rob a bank? Why can't you say it's a sickness? I had the bank robber obstocracy or whatever. Make up a word. Amen. Wow, he's got a sickness, he can't help it. His side is brainwashed. The media's portrayed homosexual relationship as a loving family environment. But listen to this. The average homosexual will have between 300 and 500 sex partners in their life. Tell me that's normal. Tell me that's normal. It ain't normal, brother. 28% of male homosexuals admit to having sex with 2,000 partners. One-third of all sodomites have 2,000 partners in their life. If it's so normal and it's so good and so wholesome, why don't they meet the love of their life and stay with them the rest of their life? One of them wrote me a letter the other week and said, I have a monogamous relationship with my partner. That's as far as I got. I just flipped it right over and started giving them scripture and said, you're talking to the wrong person. Your problem ain't with me. Your problem's with God. All I put on our sign is what the Bible says. The facts. Amen? I don't put my opinion out there. I got an opinion. I'm like everybody else. I got opinions. But brother, your opinion is just like mine. It ain't worth a whole lot. But the truth will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. They also say, well, God loves me anyway. The Bible said, Psalm 7:11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. God might love their soul, but I tell you what I believe. I believe when people reach that point and they cross the boundaries and they cross over to that homosexual lifestyle or child molesting, the Bible said God gave them over. God turned them over to the destruction of their own flesh. In other words, God turned them over to a reprobate mind, and they really do believe that what they're doing is right and what we're saying is wrong, and God's just letting them go. It's not that God won't save them. It's just that they won't be saved. They'll never ask God to save them because their mind... Go home and read Romans chapter 11, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. God turned them over to a reprobate mind, and they won't ask forgiveness, and they won't seek repentance because they know real repentance means turning from that wicked lifestyle, and they're not going to do it. Ain't it funny? They don't believe in God, and they don't believe in the Bible. They don't like the Bible, and they don't believe that God will send anybody to hell, but you make them mad, see where they tell you to go. Amen. I'll tell you something, brother, about the homosexuals. You say, preacher, you talk like you hate them. I don't hate them individually. I hate what they're doing because God hates it. Amen. They're some of the most vicious, mean-spirited, militant human beings on this earth. I know the media portrays them as just being sweet and kind and loving. Here's a good way to compare it. The Bible said, a mad woman and a brawling woman, it's better to live up on top of the house than live in a house with a woman like that. Right? That's true, buddy. You take a woman full of the devil, ain't nothing worse. But you take a sodomite, brother, an effeminate man that thinks he's a girl, and make them mad. You got a double whammy on your hands. You got the traits of a woman that's in a rage, but the strength and the anger of a man. That's true. I never thought about that till today. That just hit me. I thought, and you know what? You can get out there and protest against almost anybody. But when you come against them people, they get vicious. They're mean-spirited. You say, well, preacher, maybe that... No, you know where it come from? Way back yonder in the Bible when those angels went to Lot's house, they said, send those men out that we may what?
know them. You know what that means, don't you? Everybody here knows what know them means. Raise your hand. Oh, I don't know what it means. Everybody knows what it means. They want to have them in a husband and wife kind of way. And Lot said, no, we're not going to let you have them. And they're going to tear his house down. Lot gave him his two little daughters, his virgin daughters. They've never known a man. He said, we don't want them. We want those men. Now, brother, you got to admit, that's pretty perverted right there. Perverted. Well, preacher, what else you going to preach on? I'll think of something. Amen? Amen? Brother, listen, God is angry with the righteous, and God's judgment. God did not spare the Sodomites, and He ain't going to spare them today, brother. Amen. By the way, did you know AIDS used to have a different name when it first came out? How many knows what the name of it used to be? GRID. What was it? Gay Resistance Immune Disorder. Something like that. And the homosexuals got so mad, they changed the name of it so it'd sound less discriminating. Did you know what the number one killer in America is? Cancer. Guess what? The number one disease that gets the most research from the government? AIDS. Because AIDS has got the queers protesting and hooping and hollering and got them up in Washington. Got them in our school systems, our judicial systems, and the executive branch, the judicial branch, legislative branch. They're everywhere. They're taking over. Y'all think I'm crazy? You'll see one of these days. When your little grandkid comes home and their teachers got through to them, they got books out now, textbooks. Heather has two mommies and all that, such as that, and they're teaching that it's normal, it's perfectly normal for a man to like. If it's so normal, how come it just came up in the last 50, 60 years? God didn't spare him then, He ain't going to spare him now. Number four, I want to say God is not going to spare those in the tribulation. Brother Joe's been teaching the last couple of weeks. Tribulation's coming to this world, and when the Antichrist shows up, God ain't going to show him any mercy. Because right now they're getting grace and they're getting mercy. The Bible said after the rapture, when the Antichrist comes public and the Lord Jesus Christ takes His church out, the Bible said, Jesus said, Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world, but this time no, nor ever shall be. The world ain't never seen nothing. All these floods and tornadoes and earthquakes and unrest in the Middle East, we ain't seen nothing what it's going to be like when we're gone. It's about to happen. It's getting close. Have you ever seen a time like now where programs like the History Channel and places like this doing documentaries about the end of time all the time? Even they know something's getting ready to happen. They're doing things on the rapture and the end times. God is not going to spare those in judgment. I'm not going to dwell on that one. But next, I'm going to say number five. God didn't spare His own Son. Romans 8:32 said He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall we not with Him also freely give all things? Now, brother and sister, I'm here to tell you tonight, God did not spare His Son simply because of sin. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, I quoted it this morning, that it pleased God to bruise Him. God laid Jesus Christ on the altar of redemption. And because of sin, because of God's nature, God didn't kill His Son because He wanted to. God did it because that was the only hope for mankind. And God's nature is God so holy, and God hates sin so much that He let His own Son be murdered to do away with sin. I don't mean to take it off the planet, but to make redemption for it. In other words, without that redemption, you didn't have any hope. Neither did I, neither did anybody else. The Pope ain't even got no hope. There ain't no hope in the Pope anyway. That's a good slogan, ain't no hope in the Pope. Amen? But God didn't spare His own Son. And God executed judgment on His Son. And God didn't spare Him. And God turned His back on that afternoon when Jesus died. God turned His back and the sky grew dark. Last thing I want to say, Ronnie, come on up here. I want to say, sixth thing I want to say, I'm closing. God's not going to spare the sinners on the day of judgment. If you got your Bibles still close to you, look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, I'll read a couple of verses, we're going to close. The unsparing God. It's not like what people think God to be. The Bible said, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There ain't going to be no place for you, no place to hide. I'm in Revelation 20, verse 11. Look at verse 12. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the way it closes, people. I mean, there's another chapter, you know, another chapter or two. But I'm just saying that's how God closes everything out. There's a judgment day coming for sinners. And if you're not saved tonight, don't think that you're going to get to the judgment and plead for mercy or a plea bargain, because it's going to be over. You're going to get just exactly what's coming to you. If you're lost, you're going to get cast in the lake of fire with the devil and all those angels I preached about and all those sodomites and all the murderers, child molesters, drunkards, liars, thieves. You're going to be cast in the lake of fire with them. So if you're not saved tonight, you better get saved. Let's stand tonight.